Blog Talk Radio.
Jag är hebré från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico. Y amo a la tribu de Straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia. And I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Shalom, shalom, greetings, welcome, hallelujah, trust in Yah with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Tonight, we have a beautiful interview set up. I'm Sister Ashley, I'm introducing this show, and Mother Jennifer's going to take it over. We have 14 days until the land opens up to the feast. 14 days. That will go so fast. Thank you for the chat. Thank you for your blessings and your shaloms. Thank you for tuning in. I want to give a special shout-out tonight to all of our offlanders, all our offland sisters, all the offland sisters who listen, those who communicate one to another, who strive one to another, who have sacrificed and followed their husbands to live closer. Just want to thank you for all the desserts you've made, for the snacks you've made, for the dishes you've washed, for the chow hall you've cleaned up. You're a huge part of getting what we need done, and I can't foresee that we would be able to do it with this many people without you. And I thank y'all so much, truly, for following, for listening, for trying to love one another and striving to love your husbands. May the Most High Yah continue to have his favor upon each of you. And let's jump to Georgia. Mother Jennifer, are you there? Let's do a sound check.
Bless you, Sister Ashley. Shalom to you and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. I am here. I can hear you very well. It's an honor to be here tonight for another episode of Sister to Sister. I really enjoyed the interviews and the talks about polygyny. It really is beautiful to hear about our culture and our heritage being restored. Looks like we've got tens rolling in the chat room, and we can move forward whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't think I have any more announcements. You know, like I said, 14 days until the land opens up. I'm sure orientations and communications will happen when you get there. I think I can ramble just for a moment about a simple change, but a good change this year is granola days. We got a lot of granola days. We got some delicious granola coming at you. We got pumpkin spice, peanut butter, chocolate, almond cranberry, vanilla cranberry, and just regular. And we got a team led by Sister Jordan who's made tons and tons and tons and tons of granola with joy. When I tell you, she has a smile and a great spirit about what she's doing, and her team too. Tammy helps her. Gigi helps her. Cheyenne, do you help? Cheyenne, she's not in here. Just Tammy and Gigi, I believe, but didn't want to leave anyone out. And I wanted to thank them for that. And coffee this year is downhill. That's a big change. Just experimental, because granola is down the hill. All our granola breakfasts are downhill. So I want to tell y'all each week until the feast arrives, because you're very used to breakfast being up the hill. This year, it is down the hill a lot. So pay attention to the schedule when you get here. Take a picture of that screen that we post right outside the chow hall. You'll have about 4 breakfasts up the hill, and the rest are all down. And it's granola with a variety of milks and homemade oat milk, rice milk, almond milk, and dairy milk. So looking forward to that. I think that's really all my announcements, sending my love to each of you. I really, really do. To the aged women who are striving to be examples in front of us, I thank you so much. Teaching us to be discreet, or to be chaste keepers at home, to be silent, to love our husbands. Thank you. I know a lot of you have had years and years in the world and then have been saved by his grace, saved by his law in your heart in the last maybe 10, 15, 20 years of your life. Yah knows, of course, he counts your days. And I thank you for just submitting yourself or subjecting yourself to the ministry and to those that are younger than you who are also growing and learning, who don't have everything figured out. We're all marching to the same righteous. What are we doing, Chef? Striving on the road to holiness.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the sound checks. Sister Sakina is going to be sitting right here all night. Mother Jennifer, ready for you. If I may, I'd like to give a shout-out to our speakers, our interviewees tonight. But please go ahead and introduce them, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And first, I just want to thank Sister Sakina for everything that she does behind the scenes. It really is a blessing just to have you by our side. So thank you so much. And I want to introduce our guest tonight. I have the wives of Brother Demetrius. And it's Sister Natiri and Sister Jasmine. And they've been a part of Straightway Georgia for about 4 years, I'm thinking 5, but it's been 4 years. And the one thing that I remember about them when I first met them was their love for one another and how mature they were as women in their relationships as sister wives. So I wanted them to be able to talk about that tonight. So it's a blessing to have them here. Sister Ashley, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and ask, but If you do not, then we will go ahead and let you go.
Hallelujah. Hey, really briefly, I just want to say thank you, Nateri and Jasmine, for coming tonight. Thank you to Demetrius for allowing him. He's a big help to Deacon. You might see him seating at the feast, at some of the weddings, some of the events. He's always made himself willing to give a hand to Deacon Bell when he gets here. Nateri, thank you for honoring me. Jasmine, thank you for honoring me. You guys have loved the Bell House from day one. I do remember the excitement that both of you had the night that you came to the land for the very first time, the feast that you came to. I remember it very well. I remember speaking to you all in the dark for many hours, sitting outside on the deck, catching up with how excited you guys were to come to a place that could make your union together and your marriage really tight and really beautiful in the eyes of the Most High Yah. And you were so willing to do things right. You were already together. You were already a family. I'm not sure how much history you go into tonight, because I know we want to talk about everything that the Most High Yah has done. But I want to bless you both. Thank you so much for your time tonight. May the Most High Yah get all the glory from everything you share, and may the sisters learn how to love their husbands. Bless you, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to give them an opportunity to give their acknowledgments, and then we can go ahead and move on. So I'll go to Nateri first, and then we'll go to Jasmine.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. I just want to thank the Most High Yah for calling us this way, giving me an opportunity to renew my mind and an opportunity to make it to the kingdom. I want to thank my husband for always being there, for being a man of Yah and really striving and loving me that the way that the Father loves us, loves the men. And I want to thank Pastor Dow for just being a man of Yah that was bold to walk this walk for all these years, to help restore Israel back to the way that Yah originally designed us.
Hallelujah. So want to thank the Most High Yah for calling and choosing me out of billions and billions of people. His grace is sufficient and it renews day by day. And I also want to honor my husband, Brother Demetrius, for not letting us stay mediocre. He always pushes us to higher levels of holiness, and he doesn't accept us to just be stagnant. So I just thank him for always having a high standard and pushing us towards that. And Sister Ashley, bless Deacon Bell's home. Thank you for all that you do, and we love you very much.
Hallelujah. Hey, Mother Jennifer, I'm going to go ahead and step away from the mic. Sister Sakina is here. She's ready for your music break when you want one. Nateri and Jasmine, hey, glorify the Most High Yah with your story. No expectations from the audience at all. They've never heard your story at all. So no fear. Speak freely. Tell the truth. And shame the devil. Bless you, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. You know, I wanted to just really reiterate that the one thing that really touched my heart when I first met the home of Brother Demetrius was the maturity amongst the women. When Nateri and Jasmine first came to Straightway, Georgia, they were already a family unit. And I remember just really observing their love for one another and just really watching them. And on their first visit, when they were going home, they were leaving. And I remember looking at them and saying, you know, we really need mature relationships like what you all have. So I pray that you all continue to be an example, and they have been exactly that. Had a little conversation earlier, and we were talking about just their background a little bit. I wanted them to go into how their husband found Straightway, how he found Pastor Dow, and, you know, what was, how did they receive Pastor? I'm going to go to you first, Nateri. How did Brother Demetrius find Straightway, and what was your reaction when you first heard Pastor Dow?
We found Straightway. My husband was searching for the truth. His father was a pastor, but in Christianity, he knew not everything added up. So we would listen to 119 Ministries and try to get some understanding. And it was on YouTube, and the suggestion list pastor came up. I'm not sure exactly what topic he was speaking upon, But he was listening to him, and everything that he was saying made sense. It lined up with the word. He presented it to me, and the first time I heard Pastor, I got excited. It was just the masculine. He was bold, and he was speaking truth, and he was confident. And when we went back in the word, everything lined up. So I was never offended of Pastor. I was actually excited from having a background of growing up with a lot of masculine men. It made sense, you know, calling out the wickedness of a woman. It was refreshing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like anything that you ever hear, whether it's on mega churches or on TV. And it was just refreshing. And I was excited to follow my husband in whatever direction he went to.
Right. So his pastor wasn't a motivational speaker.
No.
He was just speaking the truth.
The truth.
And that appealed to you.
It did. It did.
Hallelujah. Sister Jasmine, what was your reaction to when your husband found Pastor Dow?
My reaction was, okay, this is what we're going to do, because my husband is very masculine. So hearing Pastor wasn't anything foreign. It was just like, okay, here's another masculine man. I was already a feminine woman, so I was like, okay, my husband's super masculine. He's following and trusting what this man of Yah is saying, and it's in the word, so I'm going to go with it. It's truth. And my husband had never led me astray, so it was like, okay, let's run with it. I didn't really have any kickback when it came to following the truth, following a pastor and his teachings. I had no kickback with that at all.
So you all had already, you were already a family unit when you came to Straightway, when you came to Straightway, Georgia. So you had to pretty much figure out a lot, you know, a lot of things that women struggle with, you had to figure out on your own. So let's talk about that. Like, how did you all get to that level of maturity? That's what I want to talk about tonight. How did you get to that level of love and maturity and growth and, you know, just everything? I remember when we went on our walk earlier and thinking about the number one thing that women bring up when it comes to polygyny in your experience, when they ask you, or if you're counseling another sister, the number one thing that they bring up is the intimacy aspect, right?
Yes, ma'am.
How can I get over my husband being with another woman in an intimate way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you, how did you get over that? Or was it even an issue? Was it a struggle for you? What would you tell a woman if she came to you with that question?
To be transparent, at one point it was an issue, but it wasn't like major. It wasn't a major, major thing. But what I would say to a woman that needs to get over that or wants to get over that is, it's not, that's the smallest thing. It's literally the smallest thing that you have to worry about being in a polygynous family, which you shouldn't really have any worries. But you want to focus on getting your heart right about other things. If you are a principal wife and your husband is considering bringing in another one, you need to focus on how you're going to love this sister and how you're going to teach her to love her husband, because that will be her husband now. You can't say that intimacy is going to be the biggest thing, because what if this sister comes in and she fries the best chicken ever, and your husband is like, you know what, I don't want you to do that. I want her to fry the chicken this time. I want her to do it. Is your heart prepared for her taking over Wednesday or fourth day cook nights, because he likes the way she fries chicken better than you do? Are you prepared to receive that? Are you prepared to submit yourself to learn how she does it? So just in case she's not available to do it, you can do it just the way your husband likes it done.
Mm-hmm.
So really we didn't focus on the intimacy thing. My husband was very big on us learning to love one another. He said, we're going to have a relationship. We're going to have a friendship. There will be no strife in my household. You're going to be friends. And it wasn't something that he had to force, because we were willing.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't kicking back on that.
Right.
Sister Nateri. I completely agree. He did. He preached a lot of unity, and I think it takes a really strong man who's committed to do those council sessions with you, talk to you, help transform your mind to let you see the bigger picture. A lot of times us as women, we see the small, minuscule stuff, and you make a big mountain out of something that's not important. The everyday task, the goal of your husband and his family and what he desires for his household are the things that we have to focus on. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of time and dedication, blood, sweat, and tears from his aspect to talk to us one-on-one, independently, as well as together. We had a lot of family meetings, weekly, daily, really whenever we needed it, to just change our mind from the aspect of how we grew up. So it was a lot of unlearning, mm-hmm. and a lot of unlearning the selfishness to be committed in your mind to his goal, the things that he desired.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of that, and learning, just like you said, learning to love each other and the benefits, mm-hmm. your sister's strength, like having the willingness to learn your sister's strength to better your husband as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my sister is a wonderful baker, and I don't bake that much, you know. I'll cook something and be like, sis, can you make the bread to go, because this is some garlic bread, and I'll make the garlic butter. Mm-hmm. And it's all about him and his desires, but he did a lot of unity.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a lot of unity, us as a whole. We're going to be best friends. Y'all going to be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so right. Like, he was so right. So
right.
It takes willingness, a willing heart from the sisters, mm-hmm. to get out yourself and deal with your insecurities.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing it takes a really good lead, a good strong man, of course, and the women have to have a personal relationship with the father.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a good, solid personal relationship with the father, then all these things that you're talking about are not going to transpire. You brought up something really that I wanted to point out, and it's really about how to respect the strength of the other wives or the other wife. How do you respect the strength of each other without feeling, and I say feeling in quotes, without feeling rejected?
For me, it takes time and really observe your sister. Mm-hmm. See how she is on a daily basis, especially when you're getting to know her. You watch how she moves, you know. Wow, she's really good in this. I struggle in an area, and my sister is wonderful. Time management, organization, she's going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes humility to step back and be like, you know what, she's a great lead, and I need to submit myself to her in this area,
mm-hmm.
so I can grow, you know, having that love, that the unconditional love, like, I desire to be better. I inspire to be like my sister in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it has helped me grow. The time management, the organization, and this is just a few things. My sister has a bunch of hats that she wears, and I submit myself. It has to be the willingness to submit yourself one to another,
mm-hmm.
For the success of the household, for everybody to truly benefit.
Right.
And she's absolutely right. So, even me being the second Ashaya, when I see if there may be a area that my sister needs help in, and I really want to see her succeed in it, which is all the time, if it's a strength of mine, I don't just keep it as a strength of mine. If I see that she needs help in that area, then I'm going to help her in that area so that she can be great in that area as well, because it's ultimately about our husband's home. It's not about who can cook better and who can bake better and all that. It's if we honor each other's strengths, the goal still gets accomplished. But it doesn't stop Nateri and I from helping one another to rise to the occasion.
Right.
We still pick each other up. Okay, sis, I know you don't bake that much, but today you finna bake the bread today. We're gonna bake some rolls today. Yes, and I'm gonna teach you. And then for me, my weak point is, I'm an easy eater, so I don't need too much of anything. But Natiri really likes to be in the kitchen and cook and stuff like that. So sometimes I'll just come stand over her shoulder. Mm-hmm. Even though I know she cooks most of the meals, I'll just come stand over her shoulder and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll tell me why she's doing what she's doing. So just because that may be a weak area for me, it doesn't stop her from teaching me and pouring into me and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I remember when we were talking about this earlier, and I asked, I believe it was Natiri, I said, why do you think women struggle with the fact of respect the strengths of another woman? And you said, because they think they're going to be replaced. And, you know, I wanted to bring out this point. A good man is not looking to have you replaced. If you're in your role and you're righteous and you're doing exactly what you need to do according to the will of Yah, he's not looking to replace you. So there's a lot of fear that comes in, a lot of preconceived fears, would you say?
Yes, very much so.
And also, you know, let's talk about honoring the delegation that the husband puts out. So let's say the husband has particular directions, a way that he wants his home to run. Let's talk about honoring that, having his mind first and foremost. Can you speak on that?
Mm-hmm. Having his mind is very important. It's a continuous journey to learn your husband, because over the years, men change their desires. Of they may have wanted or liked a certain meal over the years, and it's changed. So it's a continuous thing, but it's very important to learn your husband and learn what he desires and uphold his standards. Like if he says, I want the children in bed by a certain time, make sure the children are in bed by that time, you know, and we don't have, like, we don't hold one higher than the other. So if Jasmine gives directions to the children, mm-hmm. and, you know, how sometimes children come and ask the other parent, oh, mom, well, can I have this? Okay, I'm going to go to Jasmine. Jasmine, did you say that she could have this? Because she came and asked me, could she have a cookie? Did she ask you? Yeah. She did, and I told her no. Okay, well, Abigail, no, you cannot have a cookie.
Right.
You know? And so they know and they see that the mothers are on one accord. Mm-hmm. It's about being on one accord, especially in front of children of any age. Mm-hmm. They need to see the parents, the adults in the household all on one accord so they can see how it functions. So many mm-hmm. times we've come from broken homes, dysfunctional homes, so we think dysfunctional is right and mm-hmm. it's correct, and it's absolutely not. It's the absolute opposite. It, you know, and then if somebody is misbehaving, okay, dad is the head of authority. Okay, so, all right, so we handled it here. Mm-hmm. You got the rod. All right, let me make sure I tell dad that you weren't obeying in this area, and then he's going to come bring down the hammer.
Right.
You know, but being on one accord is very important
right.
in the household.
Right.
And also, with polygyny, you get to help keep one another accountable just in case we want to slip, just in case we're like, we try to justify why we shouldn't obey what he put into
right.
place.
Right.
So it could be, hey, I want y'all to have dinner done by 6,
mm-hmm.
but you get busy and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, we'll just do it at 7. It'll be fine. He's not going to care. No, he gave an order.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a sister there, be like, hey, sis, you know it's 5:30. Dinner's supposed to be at 6. You know that's what he said. It's the small things. And I think that's the thing, and we let the small things creep past us as if they're not that big of a deal. But if you can't be faithful in the small things,
mm-hmm.
then how is he going to expect you to be faithful in bigger tasks that he wants to give you?
Right.
And to have a sister and a friend that loves me enough to keep me in line with obedience and with what my husband says and vice versa is an honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say that I love how the two of you operate as mothers, you know, to the children. And one thing that I observed, Sister Natiri, you gave birth to Abigail. And I remember vividly when Abigail was born and you were getting cleaned up, you were taking a shower, and I took Abigail and I put her in the arms of Jasmine. And Abigail looked at Jasmine. You know, there's a certain look that babies will give their mothers. And
Abigail gave Jasmine that look, like, I know this is my mother, this is my mom, and it's something that I'll never forget, and I can see you all operating like that every single day. You know, we're both mom, because you both have the mind of your husband, so the children are not going to be confused, and I think that's really a beautiful thing. Is there anything that y'all want to add about parenting and the children or anything like that?
So it's funny, we have, okay, so Natiri has given birth to Abigail and Eliana, and I gave birth to Madison, and they all have this distinction. Natiri is mama, and I'm mom. And Abigail being 3 years old, if you call me mama, she'll look and be like, no, that's not mama, that's mom. And it's like they just know, and regardless of what they call us, they know that we are still their mothers. So there's nothing that we do outside of our husband's will when it comes to parenting his children. Mm-hmm. If he tells us, hey, make sure you show grace in this area because they're still learning, we don't get caught up in our emotions and just start slinging the rod everywhere just because we're upset. No, we have our husband's voice in the back of our mind saying, you know what, she's still learning. Don't, you know, have some grace, show some patience towards her. She's just now figuring this out. So it's important having the mind of our husbands when it comes to parenting them, because that's really molding them to be who they need to be and who he desires them mm-hmm. to be, especially as they grow in Messiah. Mm-hmm. And all they know right now is so great, because every night Abigail has a song in her heart, but it's because my husband put it into place. Hey, always have praise and worship music playing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what's going on. If it's not Pastor Dow playing, you need to have some kind of praise and worship. Mm-hmm. I don't want them tainted by anything. Right. So now it'll be like 9:43 and Abigail will be singing Joy Bells. And that's because my husband has set that precedence. This is what I want in my children.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. One thing that I wanted to get into is, you know, talking about the level of compassion that is needed when a new wife comes in. So, Natiri, I want you to talk about that. And then, Sister Jasmine, I want you to talk about how you were received by Sister Natiri. But let's talk about the level of compassion, you know, how to properly receive a new wife when a new wife comes in.
Okay, a level of compassion is very important. You want to love unconditionally. You want to give love even when it's not given back to you. Like that is your duty. That's what I've learned as a wife, to be there for her, you know, to understand her past, to understand when she's coming into this household and she wants to be loved. She wants to be loved by everybody. Why not? If you ever came to someone's household, you want to be loved and received. Mm-hmm. And I just thank the Father and my husband, because he knew that we were going to get along from the beginning. And it was just all the Father. I just wanted to be Jasmine's friend. I just wanted to be there for her, even when she didn't want to be bothered with me. I'm there. I'm calling, hey, sis, what you doing? You know, I remember at the time we were working, and my 2 days off, I would take that like hour and a half drive to come be with her on my two off days. Mm-hmm. And then in return, I would take Madison to school on my way to work. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have to go through the hassle of dropping her off at her mom's house. But I just wanted to be there. I just wanted to be her friend. I just wanted to love her. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to love her because we got along so well. So even when the times that she didn't receive me, I didn't care. I didn't let it offend me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did. Mm-hmm. And I learned that's what my husband desired from me. He was like, it's like a little sister. You got to love your little sister. Mm-hmm. You know, even when she don't want to love you back, you want to give her a hug. Here, get off me. Get off me. Just love me. It's okay. I'm bigger than you. So I'm going to just hold on to you for a few more minutes, and then I'm going to let you go. So that's it. But that compassion is very strong, because I know a lot of times when people have been rejected, they use that as an excuse. They use it as an scapegoat to not love, mm-hmm. you know, but not realizing, hey, she may be in pain. Mm-hmm. Something in the past is making you manifest. You never really know about polygyny or your insecurities mm-hmm. until you're in a situation like this. The insecurities is going to come out, and the father is doing that to allow you to get the opportunity to deal with yourself. But I strongly, compassion is very, very important. That establishes a foundation and longevity amongst your sisterhood.
I want to say I love the transparency. I really do, because, you know, things like that happen. Women are broken, mm-hmm. and we all have different paths. We all have things that have happened in the past, and we have to remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. You know, there's spirits that we're dealing with, and it is very important to be able to not take things personally, but to be able to just show love so that your sister can learn how to receive love. So, Sister Jasmine, can you talk on that?
Absolutely. So, coming into the family, just knowing Natiri, she's absolutely right. Like, she was just, like, just loving all of the time. And I can give this testimony so often. She just loves. She hugs, and she would hug, and she would hug. And I'm just like, some days I'd be like, why are you touching me? Like, you know? But it wasn't because I didn't like her. It wasn't even because I didn't love her. It was just that I did not know how to receive love. I only knew how to love in my quote-unquote love language. Mm-hmm. It was to give people what they needed or to give people what they wanted. So even though she would try to hug me and stuff like that, and I would act like, ugh, don't touch me, I would still 2 minutes later be like, you hungry? You know? To, you know, do you want something to eat or something like that? Like, I knew how to love in that manner. So being with her, and my husband just, he knew what he was doing, because she made me see that I was rejecting her.
Mm-hmm.
I was rejecting her love. I didn't know how to receive love. I barely knew how to give it. I thought I did, but I didn't. I thought I loved her as a sister, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was loving her in my own way, and my way was just all wrong, completely wrong. So when she, like now, we had a hug yesterday. We had a conversation. I was holding the vacuum, and we just talking. And at the end of it, she gave me a big hug, and at that moment, I was just like, wow, I'm not rejecting them anymore. I haven't been rejecting them in a while, but it really hit me that I'm not rejecting
mm-hmm.
her hugs anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't make me say, you know.
Yeah,
I'd be like, ah, don't do it. But it's not that anymore. And it was nothing. That all she did was love me through my rejection,
mm-hmm.
love me through my pain, love me through my brokenness,
mm-hmm.
love me through my heartache,
mm-hmm.
love me through my projected fears, you know. That's all she did. And then the father was able to come in and soften my heart, not just towards everyone else, but especially towards her. Because it's like, why are you trying to push somebody away that just only wants to love you and care about you?
Right.
I've given you a sister. You didn't have one. You're an only child. You asked, you begged for a sister. I gave you one. She's like 6'1" and just loves you. And you're pushing her away for what? So just having my sister just love me through my pain is just that's a blessing by itself.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all didn't do anything else in her, I'm glad he gave her that gift of love right there.
Hallelujah. I often say, as they hug one another, I often say that, you know, to me, the greatest level of healing takes place when you are able to share with a sister wife, you know, that those are the greatest levels of healing in my personal experience. And like Sister Rachel said, you know, I need my lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear you saying. Like, I really needed my lot
mm-hmm.
so that I could properly heal. Because you've even noticed things that you healed from. I mean, even yesterday,
yeah.
you're realizing, wow, I'm still healing. I'm mm-hmm. still growing.
So I really do think that that's it really is awesome how the Father has laid all this out. So let's just take a break. We'll take a short music break. Sister Sakina, if you could go ahead and take us to a break, and then we'll be right back after the song.
Ooh, yeah, Israel, I love you like I love myself, Israel.
Hallelujah. We are back and just having a conversation about polygyny with Sister Natiri and Sister Jasmine. I only have a couple more questions, and if y'all have anything in your notes that you want to go over, you can. But, you know, one question that I hear a lot from women, I think it really encourages me that women have their minds and their hearts set to accept the old path, you know, to accept the fact that the culture is being restored amongst Yah's people. And that is, it's very encouraging. One question that I get a lot is, how do I prepare my heart for polygyny? How do I prepare? What do I do now? My husband is talking about wanting to take on another wife one day. What can I do in the meantime to prepare myself? How do you answer that question?
Okay. Get your heart right. Talk to the Father. Get with the Father and really ask him, what does he desire of you? Reminding yourself of the words that your husband speaks to you about how you benefit his life, the covenant that you have. And just know that you're not getting replaced. It's an increase for his household, for his benefit, to better him and make things more easier and at ease for him on his workload. And just try to be the best helpmeet and assistant that you can. I mean, you can truly only prepare yourself but so much. Like you said earlier, Mother, it's like preparing yourself to have a baby. You have all these thoughts in your mind about how things are going to go and what you're going to do. But when the baby actually comes, it's something totally different. It's a whole brand new experience. So just be open-minded and just seek the Father's face. Mm-hmm. And when it comes, it'll come, and you take one day at a time, one step at a time, and really deal with yourself and your selfishness.
Selfishness.
Yes.
Yes. And speaking from, if you are getting ready to enter into mm-hmm. a family, mm-hmm. ask the Father to prepare your heart to just really submit. Learn to be a servant. Just start serving and serving and serving and submitting and understanding that just because you are in submission, it doesn't make you beneath, I guess I want to say like beneath somebody. Like, you're there to increase the home. You're there to learn how this man needs to be taken care of, mm-hmm. not to come in and put your own will and your own way into the mix because he chose you. It's not about that. It's about you coming in to increase his life, to increase his home, to help his children. Just keeping in mind that it is about him. And like Nateri said, just continue to prepare your heart. Ask the Father to prepare your heart. Cleanse your heart of any selfishness, because that's probably the biggest thing that's going to get exposed when you're in polygyny. It's how selfish you are and how selfish you didn't know that you were.
Right.
And when you find it out, when it is exposed to you, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to roll around in it, bask in it, have pity parties about it? Are you going to let the love of the Father take over and purge you of all of that selfishness so that you can become selfless and used by the Most High?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to add one more thing. Having a willing heart
mm-hmm.
on both ends, whether you're a wife that's already there and about your husband is going to receive a wife or one that's coming into an already established family, have a willing heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really seek the Father's will and your husband's will and desires for his family as a whole,
mm-hmm.
Because you're not in competition. Y'all are on the same team. Y'all are teammates,
mm-hmm.
and you're striving for the kingdom. You know, we're going to be judged on our roles. Did you love that sister?
Mm-hmm.
Did you love that sister with your whole heart, or did you just halfway love her? Love her a little bit. Love her even when, you know, that spirit tells you you don't like her or didn't like something that she's done, and learn to adjust
mm-hmm.
For the benefit of him. It's not even about you. So even if you fold clothes one way, if your sister comes in and she folds clothes a better way, something more sufficient, make more clothes fit in a drawer,
mm-hmm.
Change. Be willing to change. Be willing to adapt. Don't get so caught up on the fact that, oh, I've been here, this is how we've been doing it. Be willing to change, because when his mind changes and you don't have a willing heart, you're going to be looked upon. You're going to be frowned upon. You're going to get that rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be like, well, this is what I want. Why is this such an issue? Because you're selfish. You caught up on what it's been. Okay, now things have changed. Are you going to change with the times? You know, and of your husband's desires and what he sees is best. It's about mm-hmm. trust. It's about trusting the Father and trusting the Yah in that man.
Mm-hmm.
I think trust is a big thing. We think we trust until the test truly comes, and then you know, you learn that, hey, I have an issue. And it's not even more or less with your husband. It's really with the father. Like, Father, I really don't trust you.
Right.
You brought me to this man, and I don't trust the decisions that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. It's really, you have a bigger issue with the father, and then the father has to deal with you.
Right.
You know, if you don't trust your husband and the Yah in him, you in for a rude awakening. And he going to humble you. The father going to humble you. So you better humble yourself before he does it for you.
Right.
And as far as preparing yourself for polygyny, if you're really serious about preparing yourself for polygyny and preparing yourself to just really be added into a family, or your husband is considering it, as much as we study for like baking something, or as much as we study for learning how to crochet something or sew something, we'll get on YouTube and just look at videos for hours and hours. Start studying the women that have been doing it and that are the examples in front of you. Because keep in mind, they didn't have examples. But what I've learned is I've learned how to receive my husband into his home by watching Mother Jennifer receive Elder into the home. I've learned how to have an attentive ear, watching Mama Nelly be very keen to Pastor's voice. So I've learned watching Ashley when she's speaking with Deacon, nothing else around her matters. She's listening to Deacon's voice. You start learning how to be a wife, not just by doing counsel or just asking questions and stuff. Study them. Study these women. Just watch them. Their walk shows fruit. Their walk has so much fruit. And if you're really serious about polygyny and you know that it's in your heart, you're at peace with it being in your heart and stuff like that, just watch these women. I'm telling you, Mother Carol, just the grace that she walks with, the humility that Granny Diane and Sister Lisa have. If you're really wanting to be prepared for polygyny, start looking at the characteristics that the women that are in successful polygynous families have, and start trying to apply those to your life and into your walk before you even get into that situation, so that when you're there, you're prepared. That's one less thing that you have to worry about.
Hallelujah. Very well said. You know, I believe that preparing yourself for polygyny is extremely important, like you both said, to work on yourself, to work on learning your value, making sure that your relationship with Yah is solid, and making sure that you have a high level of trust for your husband that cannot be broken, that you truly trust the Yah in him. And Sister Nateria, you talked about, you know, how Yah will humble you. And we spoke earlier about, you know, if you don't properly receive a sister, if say your husband has another sister wife that comes into the family, and you just think, well, she don't really add anything to the family. We don't really need her. The father will truly humble you, and you will replay those words in your mind, and you will be sorry for saying those words, because he's going to show you how much you really do need that sister. You know, he will allow you to see, he's going to humble you to a degree to where you're going to need her one day. And I think it's so interesting, the dynamic of Yah and how he works and how he does humble you. But it's only because he wants us to be better. If we're talking about representing him, we have to represent him well. So I have one more question. And do you all have anything before I go to my last question? Anything that you can think of that we haven't covered yet, or if there are any questions in the chat that you all want to ask, you can type them in the chat. But let's go to my last question. Oh, you got one thing? Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think as a wife, whether you have children or your husband is taking on a wife that has children, to really love those children wholeheartedly and to pour into them, because we are, women tend to be emotional, and never take your frustrations out on a child because you're angry at that man, because you're jealous or envious of your sister, or you have strife in your heart and bitterness in your heart because how things came about, or you feel like she doesn't add value. Never take that out on the children.
Right.
You know, love them wholeheartedly as if you had them.
Right.
You know, that's very, very important because they hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
The experience that children grow up in the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
it carries with them in their adulthood. So either you want to be an example of what to be, or you want to be an example of what not to be, what they need to run away from. When they see signs of how their household was, they want to be the complete opposite. So you want to really love the children.
Right.
Love the children wholeheartedly, regardless, because they're your husband's children.
Right. Yeah. And you will be held accountable for that. That is a load that children are not. They should never have to bear a load like that, you know, where a parent is at odds with because of animosity from between adults. Yeah, they should never have to carry a load like that at all. So my last question that I have for you all is, what is the main thing that polygyny has taught you? We talked about it earlier. Well, I told you I would ask this question, but I wanted to give you time to think about it, so I did not get your answers. But what is the main thing that polygyny has taught you? Who would like to go first?
Oh, go first.
Wow.
Polygyny has taught me how selfish I initially was.
Oh,
it taught me how selfish I initially was. And it taught me how to be humble,
mm-hmm.
and how to be vulnerable, because
mm-hmm.
I was really rough around the edges, tomboy. But my sister is so feminine,
mm-hmm.
and I desire to be more feminine than I was. And I think I'm on the way of getting
great.
I'm on the way getting there, you know. But being vulnerable, the Father has put me in a position. I remember when I couldn't get out the bed to use the restroom, and it was like, oh, I don't want to bother her. And then I just had Eliana, and I'm like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. I go to sit up, and I can't do it. And I'm like, man, okay, sis, when you get a chance, if you don't mind, if you can help me out the bed so I can use the restroom. And she was like, what you mean if I don't mind, if you're not bothering me? Like, you're not bothering me, like, because I was used to being the helper.
Mm-hmm.
So actually receiving the help
mm-hmm.
Was big for me. Really being on bed rest and couldn't do things for yourself,
mm-hmm.
it really humbled me. And I was so grateful that I had somebody who was there to love me. Even now, just love me through all of my trials and tribulations. But she is like a mm-hmm. solid friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would cry because I got rebuked at times. It was like she just wants to see me do great, and I really appreciate that. And I, like you said, like I can't make it to the kingdom without her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is truly my best friend. And my husband called it from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and I see it. Like, I can't – polygyny has taught me so much about family,
mm-hmm.
family being first. It doesn't matter how many – women or adults, and you know, it doesn't matter about that, but family is first, and it's so important, and it's there for iron and sharpening iron to help you get better, to actually make it to the kingdom, to have an opportunity, because
right.
I couldn't do it without her.
Right.
Hallelujah. Okay. So the biggest thing that polygyny has taught me is how hard my heart once was, and that I needed to soften it. Being in Brother Demetrius's family has been nothing less, like, it just has been such a great blessing, because the standard has been raised for me and for Natiri, and it's not just like, it's not carnal things. Like, he's always wanted us to get our hearts right, and it's so great to have someone by my side warring with me. Not, you know, we have all the saints, but to have somebody right next to me, I can be like, hey, this, I'm struggling right here. I'm dealing with this right here. What do you think it could be? To be able to, like, talk about the word, talk about Yah, talk about my weaknesses when polygyny has showed me that it's okay to need somebody. It's okay to have somebody. You don't have to push everybody away. Like, I know women say, oh, yeah, I don't have a lot of female friends mm-hmm. because they're too, I don't know what I would do without my female friend.
Right.
This is my friend.
Right.
This is my, when you're in, well, while I'm in polygyny, if I didn't have my sister not to correct me, if I'm doing something wrong, she's going to correct me. And there's never any, like, I can't believe she said this to me, or she knows I do this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's never any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do it for her, it's never any of that. And we don't let things go for days.
Mm-hmm.
If I said something to her and I can get, like, a little small discernment of, I think I might have offended her, oh, we're going to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we run in late, let's talk about it, because we're not going to go through the day. And it doesn't take us more than maybe 2 or 3 minutes to get past whatever we thought it could have been. Because
right.
it was a feeling that just was not a fact.
Right.
I said what I said, or she said what she said.
Mm-hmm.
How I perceived it may have been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She cleared it up.
And
that was that.
Right.
That was that.
Right.
So being in polygyny just really taught me, hey, there's no more selfishness. Not always about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about you. Everything that you're doing is for someone else.
Yeah,
it's never, ever, ever about me. It's always about the bigger picture.
Right. Hallelujah. I think that if we really thought about the fact that it's the bigger picture, it's not about me, we would really function a lot more efficiently. We were even talking earlier about how we don't consider that, okay, this sister is part of the same body that I am. You know, if my hand is injured, then I need to take care of my hand,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of continuing to injure it even more, I need to take care of it so that it can function properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we put it into that perspective, then we would be a lot more efficient in our relationships as women. So we have we had a question in here. The question is, how did you explain polygyny to your daughter, Madison?
Well, came up, I just explained to her that this is righteous. This is holy. This is in the Word. We showed examples about it. But she really wasn't, she was just really like, okay, like how I was in the beginning. This is what it is. And me being her mom, and I'm not trying to brag, but I've never led her astray.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done anything like wrong to her. She's never had a reason to not trust me. So when I said, I call him Jimmy. I'm like, this is Mr. Jimmy, and this is this. This is how this is going to be. She didn't have any kickback. She's just like, okay, my mom said that this is what's going on, and this is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never any, it's normal to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful. Even though she came into the truth, I think maybe she was, what was she, seven, eight?
Eight or nine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So literally soon she's going to be in the truth and in a polygynous family for more than half of her life.
Right.
And it's normal.
Right.
So there was really not much explaining to do.
Right.
Pastor covers it all the time for her. She's very intelligent, so she sits, she listens, and her questions aren't usually about polygyny. They'll be about more spiritual things because polygyny is just such a normal way of life for her.
Mm-hmm. One more question. Why do you think us women have such a hard time trusting one another? And I always say this. I always say it's because women, you don't know your value if you're having a hard time trusting another woman, because you know that you can't trust yourself or you can't be trusted. But what do you think?
I totally agree with you, Mother. It's because we don't know our value. We've really just taken what the world has said to us as truth, and it's not true. We can't trust one another because we don't trust ourselves. We don't love ourselves. We we like to blame shift. It's a lack of accountability. And usually, like Mother said, when it comes to trusting one another, trusting sisters, it's because there's something deep down in your heart that you haven't dealt with that you don't want to be exposed. Because what if somebody sees you for who you are? Mm-hmm. What if somebody discerns you for who you really are and they love you enough to put it on blast and you can't handle it? So you'd rather insulate yourself and isolate yourself and be like, and hide behind, I don't trust women, or I don't trust sisters, or I don't have female friends. Mm-hmm. You'd rather just hide behind that versus letting a friend or a sister love you enough and say, hey, sis, that ain't it right there. You don't want to do that. You'd rather keep your demons. You want to hold on to them because that's what you know.
And I also think it's a level of control. You can control the atmosphere. You can control what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust, that puts you in a vulnerable state. And if you're not willing to let go of that control that you've always had, that the world has always taught you, it's about you, you can do whatever you please and however you want to do it, you'll hold on to that control, that and that level of control. But to submit yourself, it's also a lack of submission.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I trust you, that means I'm willing to let go of my pride. I'm willing to let go of the control and allow you to do what may be best for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be a willingness. Women are not willing. We are so taught to be competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I trust you if I'm competing against you?
Because
ultimately that means you're my enemy if I'm competing against you versus we're on the same team. We have the same common goal.
Mm-hmm.
And just you have to unlearn that. Because that's what they pour into you from the beginning. How many times do you see that women are together and in unity? You don't see that anymore. You don't see, and a lot of times it's a dysfunctional relationship amongst women.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're my girlfriend. We'll gossip, we'll manipulate, but as soon as your friend leaves, you'll go talk about her.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not true. It's not genuine.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We're going to take one more question. I just want to thank Brother Demetrius for allowing you both to come to the land and to actually do the show. But we'll take one more question because I don't want to hold you all for too much longer. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all you do on the land. I just say that you all live here. You just sleep in a different place. So the last question is, did you all face any kickback or backlash from your family about polygyny in any way, and how did you overcome it, if so?
I did receive kickback, and it was for a lack of understanding on their part. They just didn't understand. They knew that I was distancing myself away from them. But the father had already been dealing with me in that aspect. And my husband will mention a lot in Matthew's when they talk about if you're not willing to sacrifice your mother, your children, your sister, your brother, your family, you're not worthy of the kingdom. And that took me back. And I was like, wow, like I have to let my two children go. I need to let this unhealthy relationships. When you really think about it, it's like y'all are not even trying to seek the Father, you know. So was in my lifestyle, my beliefs. Y'all don't believe the same. Of course, they have their opinions and they're entitled to that, but I don't let it affect me because the Father has restored me a righteous family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave up two children in the world to gain three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a sister who loves me, a husband who loves me, who will lead me, who's going to guide me and cover me until I pass away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the father, he called me out. And they're now, you know, my mother's trying to come around a little bit, but I still keep them at a distance. So now I'm now at a point where I can deal with her and I can speak to her. But it's no desire to run back. I'm not turning back.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to get called out the king, oh, because I love my family so much. You have to be really willing to sacrifice. If it doesn't hurt, it is not a sacrifice.
Right.
And if you really trust the Father and do his word and walk his way wholeheartedly, he will restore. He will replenish. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's just a blessing to see Madison grow up to a young woman. Like, it's nothing that I could even fathom. Like, mm-hmm. And you have to be content with that. Mm-hmm. You have to leave those family members in the world. You know, I can speak to my children and know, hey, it's the Father is dealing with them and they make it to the kingdom, hallelujah. But if he's not dealing with them and they're going to the fiery furnace, well then hallelujah, because it's about saving yourself, you know, and you have to really do it wholeheartedly, and he will bless you. He will restore. He will give it back to you tenfold.
Mm-hmm. On my behalf, there was not much kickback at all, because the separation had already begun. Mm-hmm. Once I started realizing that I didn't know the truth and that they weren't teaching me the truth, polygyny, none of this was hard. My mother would try to send, like, subliminal messages through Madison, but Madison was so sound in the mind. Lady said this. And lady said that, and I'm like, well, what did you say? Oh, I ignored it. You know, I returned curses. I did, you know, things like that. So just knowing that she was sound in the mind when it came to things like that, there was really no kickback, because I didn't give them anything to kick. It was, this is what I'm going to go do. I'm going to serve the Father. I'm going to serve the King. I'm going to submit to my husband. My husband is going to take care of me. Like, there was, My mom's mind was almost blown when she realized that I was leaving my job and that I was not going to work, that this man was going to take care of me and another woman and my child. You know, her mind was like, oh, my gosh, because my mom was just this woman that poured into me. You got to work. You got to get the money. You got to do all these things, because that's going to validate you as a person. But my entire life, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And then the opportunity presented itself. Okay, and we're going to do it in righteousness and holiness, and he's made a commitment to me to take care of me. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that I gave my family to kick at. They didn't have a leg to stand on with me. So as far as having a polygyny, having a mom's polygyny, my mother, and I only say my mother because that's probably the only family member that I speak with. She, after she got over herself, and when let's share this. We went by her house one day, and she made food for me, Madison, and my husband. But she didn't want to acknowledge Natiri. So I went and asked her. I said, well, can Natiri get a plate too? Can she have a plate too? And she was like, oh, yes, I can make one for her too. I was not going to leave that house without her acknowledging that this woman is also a part of this family as well. You're not going to treat her like she's not there, because she's here. So I just really cut all ties when it came to it. There's no kickback. Polygyny is what it's going to be. I'm in this thing. I'm committed. I'm devoted to the Most High, Yah. I'm devoted to his ways. I'm committed to his ways. There's nothing that's going to turn me back for anything. I'm not going to hell for nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm not turning my back on Yah for no one. Mm-hmm. And that's just the stand that I took. And now that she sees that, they respect it. There's no disrespect. There's no side comments anymore. There's none of that. It's just a respect for what the Father's put us into.
She asked about you and Madison all the time. Oh, how's my other daughter doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
say that again.
Oh, even now, like my mother, when she calls me, contacts me, whether it's text message or how's my other daughter doing? How's Madison doing? You know, Jasmine crochets, so she asked Jasmine to make her a bag. She asked me to sew her a bag and asked if Jasmine could make her a bag, and sent the money for the supplies, and she acknowledges, like, hey, we're a polygynous family, and she now accepts it. She's like, this is my daughter's lifestyle, and it is what it is. You know, we're serving the Father. My husband is taking care of us. And I'm able to do everything that you wish you could have done in your life, but you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
For you haven't, because of the lack of submission.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm able to do that, you know, in a righteous and holy way. So, yeah.
And it seems like the women that want to insert opinions about your life and what you should be doing and what's right and what's wrong, those are the women that are not married.
No, nobody. You
right.
With your dog.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to thank y'all so much once again for being here. And we are going to go ahead and sign off tonight. And I just want to say that that Pastor Dial is truly getting everyone ready for Passover. All these messages that are coming out from our shepherds, from the elders, they're truly putting us in a position to make sure that our hearts are right for the Passover. So just make sure that we are doing our due diligence. Shalom and blessings.
Citizen.